In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron and John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you this morning on a Wednesday morning from Chickies and Peach. You know, we get to do shows here about two or three times a year. We always love it. It's always a special show. It's always one of those sort of let's take stock of what we've got kind of shows. And that's what we've got today with the Birds at the half. Now, obviously, they've played 10 games. Of course, this could be the halfway point of the season. If they get the bye for the playoffs and have three playoff games, and it's a total of 20 this year, ooh, then it's truly Birds at the half.
I like what you did there.
Yeah, so I just want to establish that right out of the gate. You might say, yeah, Birds at the half, 10 games into the season, what's up? No. Going to make it simple for you. All right, so Birds at the half today. Look, your chance not only to join us on the phone lines at 215-592-9494, but also here in person. We are at the South Philadelphia Chickies and Pete's, and we, WIP, as a radio station, will be here for the next 14 hours, 13 of which will be broadcast later tonight from 6 to 8. Big extravaganzas, a lot of notables, will be, including Lane Johnson and Jordan Mulatto, will be celebrity bartenders. So a big day from the South Philadelphia Chickies and Pete's right near the sports complex. You can join us in person or, of course, on the phones at 215-592-9494. An awful lot today on the Eagles. An awful lot as well today on Joel Embiid and the Sixers. All right, good morning to all. 215-592-9494. Richie Rich, how are you, pal?
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
According to a USDA study and some data,
yes, sir,
adults in the U.S. spend an average of 67 minutes per day eating and drinking beverages.
Wow.
That's quite a bit.
67 way higher than I am.
Day.
Well below average here.
Am I under eating? I saw that. It made me
what?
Think, wow, I better pick up the pace
like I'm like
or something.
15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's pretty nothing too much.
Yeah. Well, I'll add to it when
you slow down.
When Chickies and Pete's, you know, food is ready. Because, John, you know, we always get that egg sandwich with steak in there for breakfast.
Oh.
That's what I'm looking forward
to.
Oh,
I almost forgot.
No, I didn't. In about an
I'm
hour.
Just
that's
kidding.
And look, everyone else, you can have it. You got to get here. By the way, today's entire broadcast, everything we're doing here, benefits the Travis Mannion Foundation. Very special thing. Travis Mannion Foundation. Of course, Travis Mannion, I think many people listening know, passed away a number of years ago fighting for our nation. So we honor his legacy today and help raise funds for the Travis Mannion Foundation. Come on out if you can, 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get to Joel and the Sixers shortly. John, let's start with the Eagles. Let's start with the Birds at the half. And I'm just going to give everybody, and this includes, of course, everyone listening at 215-592-9494, a big open-ended question. And you might say yes, you might say no. Here's the question. As we assess the Birds at the half, are the Eagles definitely a great football team? John Ritchie, we have been thrilled with how this team has played in recent weeks, particularly the last two or three, when, you know, they really, you know, Washington was the best team they've played in the stretch. They took care of them. John, are the Eagles definitely a great football team?
Yes, Joe. We are top shelf. We are sitting atop the NFC right now with the Detroit Lions, and we should feel great about that. Our running back should be the MVP of the league if running backs were judged fairly in today's world. Our quarterback is ninth in the NFL in QBR right now, and I'm sure that'll continue to drop as he settles in this new offense in the second half with Kellen.
Drop meaning rise, 9-5.
I was thinking the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
John calls,
meaning,
John calls a 16 seed in the NCAA tournament a high seed.
Will
that's a great seed to get, 16
and get better.
Seed.
Yeah, he'll get better. That number will make him look better. But as he continues to just shine.
I'm with you, man.
But he shines. That's the bottom line. Yep. We've got the most complete wide receiver duo in the NFL. We've got the best O-line in the NFL, coached by Jeff Stoutland, who's now like Paul Bunyan, Really?
Wait, he's in like the Jim Johnson. He's in the Jim Johnson status of legend.
You're right. You're right.
Like assistant
you
coach.
You are absolutely right. Jim Johnson, that is fair. Our defense is hungry, Joe. Our defense, for the first time in as long as I can remember, they get nasty.
They do.
And that was after being called out early in the year prior to that bye for being soft tacklers. They came back and said, wait, not us. And the young Bucks in particular, young Bucks in that secondary kind of stepped up and set a nice example for everyone, I think. They stepped to the forefront out of necessity and went into, you know, tough guy mode themselves. And, you know, everything is much better than it's ever been. But for a long time, that secondary feels as taut as it's been. And they're just faster. They're meaner. They're better. And we tackle. It's complete. That's what's so cool. And our inside linebackers now, we have inside linebackers. They blitz. They mess with people's minds by getting up in the A gaps and jockeying back and forth. And that's really cool for me to see because I hated when linebackers would do that because it really would always engender a mistake. It would always lead to, oh, man, now our right guard, he's actually going to try to block that. He's going to try to block it that way, really? Okay, now everyone else has to try to make up for that. Mistake. That's when a breakdown occurs. So inside our inside linebackers, it's different. You know, we all feel that way.
Man. It's been unbelievable.
The only thing that holds me back from saying this Eagles team, yes, they are great right now, is the pass rush. You know, it's not quite where it needs to be. The pass rush is not great. Our coverage does help it. The fact that the inside linebackers can blitz and actually get there, that does help our D-line, ultimately. I think our greatest weakness is not that great a weakness. So all in all, and plus, when we're talking about the D-line, you can't neglect to mention Jalen Carter. And just go back and watch any snap, any defensive snap, watch him with an ISO cam and tell me he is not the most physically dominant presence you can remember in a long, long time. That's sort of where the D-line starts. And then we don't get a lot of production coming off the edges sack-wise.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
But, man, Jalen Carter is exciting. And then everyone else, the inside linebackers in the middle, and then at the back end, our DBs this year, it all feels so exciting and new and better than before.
Well, look, it's better than many Eagles seasons. I mean, the question is whether it's a truly great season and team. And we'll see where you stand at 215-592-9494. I mean, my simple answer this isn't a simple answer, I guess. I don't know. All right? I don't like let me put it this way. All right.
Well,
8-2 is obviously a great record. And typically with an 8-2 record, typically you'd say, of course my team's great. Of course they. What are we talking about? 8-2. But we do know in October they played a bunch of bum teams. We know that. I'll also add this right out of the gate. And I can't fathom that there's anyone that disagrees with me, but if you do, you can weigh in 215-592-9494. Here's part of how I frame it. I know for certain at this point in 04, 2017, and 2022, I had no doubts that the Eagles were truly great. I mean, massively great. Like Super Bowl were bust totally. Get out. Everybody get out of the way. The Birds are headed to the Super Bowl great. And I feel very confident this team has not achieved that status yet, and that's fine. Like, you don't have to achieve that status. You can still win the Super Bowl anyway, but and you can still be great anyway. But I do feel this team is a step or two behind those squads for what it's worth. Now, how does this team compare, for instance, to 02 and 03? At this stage, I'd put them behind those squads as well. So I just want to give you a little historical frame of how I look at it. Look, the main thing I want to see from this team, I hear John talking about the pass rush, and that's a big one. The main one I want to see from this team to feel that they are great is starting faster. And too much blame does get put on Jalen for this. And you guys know I've been very critical of Jalen. No question. People know that. But, like, take the last game. It was so much more than just Jalen in the first quarter or two. There were, I believe, two notable drops. I believe one by Devontae, one by AJ.
It was Devontae and Dotson.
Okay, all right. So they were in the hands dropped. You see the false starts. You see this and that. And, like, you just see, for whatever reason, they just can't start fast. Or put another way, they haven't. The weirdest thing about it is they typically finish fast. If anybody out there has an explanation, please let us know. We'll pass it on to Sirianni next time we talk to him. All right, we really will. I mean, he obviously is searching for the answer. To me, that is the biggest thing that holds me back from saying, yes, definitely great, because that's a pretty big problem. I mean, they typically come out not only slow, but kind of very slow for a good stretch of the first half. So that's an issue. Look, pass rush is an issue, but mitigated by Jalen Carter's dominance. If Jalen Carter is the next Jerome Brown or Fletcher Cox inside, it's not as big a problem if you don't have a Trent Cole or a Clyde Simmons or a Reggie White or a Hugh Douglas, you know, coming off the edge, or a Javon Curse. Like, yeah, they don't have one of those guys at this point. But if Jalen Carter is a Jerome or a Fletcher Cox, that makes up for a lot. Obviously, the secondary is making
Jalen
up for a
Carter
lot.
Jalen Carter is going to be Jerome
but
or
is he,
Fletcher
But
Cox.
Where is he now in that? You know what I mean?
I think he gives you
Last
plays that
was.
Are at that
yeah, no,
level. He gives you that level of play with pretty consistent regularity.
I'd say the last like, 3 or 4 weeks. Man. The last 3 or 4 weeks he's given that play pretty consistent.
He's wrecking people.
He has turned into a game wrecker in the last couple games, which is great to see. Look, we'll take your assessment of the Eagles here. Again, we're calling it birds at the half, and it's 10 games in, but it might be the halfway point if they get to the Super Bowl and get that bye, which is totally possible. Look, today we'll examine the NFC. Today we'll examine the threats to the Eagles from the NFC. We'll look a little bit at the division, but it looks like the Eagles are starting to outclass the division. We'll talk about Jalen. We'll talk about Nick. We'll talk about the defense. We'll get into it all. A lot of guests today. Sheil Kapadia later this hour. Ruben Frank on site with us from 7 to 9 today. Merrill Reese on site with us at 9 o'clock. Mike Quick will call into the show. And certainly you can as well. 215-592-9494. We're at the South Philadelphia Chickies and Pete's. Coming up, we also get into the Joel Embiid situation. What, and I'll use the word frickin', disaster. Seltzer, I'm just trying to avoid getting,
we know what you're
fired.
Doing. Okay? We know what you're doing, pal.
So I'll use the word frickin'. Embiid, he's on the table next. Phone calls and all this. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, on a big Wednesday, a great Wednesday. We got an 8-2 football team. If you think they're great, let us know. If you're not quite sure, let us know. Where do you stand on 94 WIP?
The NBA is back in FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sports book, wants you to catch all the action. And right now, FanDuel is giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off and buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R, to make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP as well. That's FanDuel.com/JONR for 3 free months of NBA League Pass.
All right, from Chickies and Pete's, we love being here. It always signifies something big's going on, and it is for us today here at WIP with the Birds at the Half Show assessing the Eagles. We'll get to the Sixers nonsense in a moment. Let me also tell you, as we broadcast from Chickies, it is never too early to book that holiday party, you know, for the next couple months here and the great holidays up ahead. Book now at Chickies and Pete's, all the different locations throughout the Delaware Valley. We're at the South Philadelphia Chickies and Pete's, and get a party upgrade. Details online at chickiesandpeets.com. All right, let's go to the phones. Eagles definitely a great team, yes or no? Seltzer, the Eagles definitely a great team.
Yeah. So here's the thing. They're great, relatively speaking. I would argue that compared to 2022, there are no great teams in the NFL this year. I don't think there's a team in the NFL this year that could hang with the Eagles or Chiefs from that year.
I agree with that.
So I think it's all relative. I think when you look at the teams, I think the Lions deserve to be the best team right now. But the Eagles aren't that far from the Lions. They're only one game behind them. They haven't played that much of a different brand of football. I know the Lions beat the crap out of some teams. But I just don't think that there is a great, great team. So I think when you look at it, relatively speaking, I think there are four teams that right now stand above the rest. Okay. I think it's the Chiefs, the Bills, the Eagles, and the Lions. And for the purposes of this season, they are great.
That's an interesting way to answer it. Let's go to the phones. Where do you stand? 215-592-9494. Mike in Douglasville kicks us off. What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing well, buddy.
So I would say at this point, we are a very good team, and if we win this weekend, which I view this weekend as the possibility of a major trap game, but if we go out to the West Coast and we are able to beat the Rams, and I would prefer handedly, you know.
Of course, we all would.
A Sunday night game. I want
to be nice
to
have 7 points in the first quarter. I'll just drop that in. Hello.
What a thought.
Do you know who else doesn't score in the first quarter?
Who's that?
The Rams.
Oh, well, that's okay. Interesting.
Yeah, they're like the worst team scoring in the first quarter.
Outscored. Even worse than the Eagles?
I was shocked by that.
It almost seems impossible to be worse.
What, yeah, 10 points, right?
Here, I will show you this.
And a field goal, I think.
The Rams have been outscored by 43 points in the first game this season, which is the worst mark in the NFL.
Wow. First quarter, yeah.
That's first quarter, yeah.
All right, Mike, go ahead, man. What do you got?
I'm shocked somebody's worse than us in the first quarter. You look at this defense and these, as Hugh Douglas would say, these young Thundercats, are just really showing up. Offensively, obviously, Saquon should definitely be the MVP. I really wish, honestly, we would stop doing the tush push as much as we do, especially on first down.
It wouldn't matter for
Saquon
the MVP, sadly. Christian McCaffrey got like 20 touchdowns last year and he didn't win it.
But I
and
think
he was clearly the best
player
in football.
But I think there's more awareness right now.
I don't think there is, man. Have you looked at the odds? He's still like 16th or 17th or something. I mean, like Geno Smith is still ahead of him, you know?
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Mike.
If you had like 4 or 5 touchdowns to Saquon's stats this year, I think he would be a lot higher than what he is now.
Yeah, he might be like 13th
Mike,
or 12th.
I think part of what helps him is the jump backwards was so never before seen. It became such a viral highlight and talking point in the middle part of this season. I do think it helps his cause. Look, I hear James.
I think
James.
The tush push being viral also helps his cause to some degree.
Because people know that he's got limited
touchdowns.
I agree with that.
A lot more people know.
I agree with that.
Than would ordinarily.
Yeah. But look, James's point is well taken for me. He probably isn't going to win the MVP. And that's a shame. If he and
but don't give up your hope, Joe.
It is not impossible that he wins the MVP. And a lot has to do with these other quarterbacks. Jalen, we've talked about it. It hasn't been a gangbuster season. But it's not just Jalen. You look around the NFL and the quarterbacks who are doing it consistently, big numbers, big touchdown production, few and far between. It's quieter and there's a lot more running going on around the league.
Sure.
It's a balanced offensive attack that is what's most effective right now.
All right, let's get to the Sixers thing because it's such a big topic. All right, so I think everyone knows Shams reported this yesterday. Amongst other things, he reported in the meeting that happened after the game 2 nights ago. In the meeting, Maxey challenged Embiid to be on time to team activities, calling out the former league MVP about being late for, quote, everything. This is from Shams' report, being late for everything. And how it impacts the locker room, from other players to the coaching staff. Sources briefed to the meeting told ESPN. Maxey and Embiid have a close friendship and have a history of holding each other accountable, according to those around the team. Quote, Tyrese loves big fella. But this is the elephant in the room, a person involved in the meeting told ESPN.
Hold on. They have a history of holding one another accountable?
I know. The story goes on to say players told 76ers coach Nick Nurse that they want to be coached harder, and coaches in turn say they want players to practice with purpose and attention to detail, blah, 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 blah. All right. So this is a disaster. It's a mess. I mean, it's good that someone stepped up and told Joel what he needs to be told. It's a disaster that he needed to be told. And, you know, there are so many ways to go in addressing this story. I'll just start with this. It felt to me like yesterday was probably the beginning of the end of Joel Embiid in Philadelphia. I mean, that to me is the overarching headline, and that when all is said and done, he will probably go down as one of the most disappointed athletes in Philadelphia sports. And that's saying something, because he's one of the most skilled players.
He won an MVP. Like, how crazy is you're right, but how crazy is that?
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like wasted talent. And, you know, obviously my reaction is a combination, as a Philadelphia sports fan, of anger at Joel and sadness about all of it. I mean, I don't know which I have more, anger or sadness. It's 8 years in now. Obviously, I have a heavy dose of both. John, you were a pro. You were a pro football player, but not every pro football player, pro basketball player is a pro. You were a pro. It certainly seems like Joel Embiid is not a pro. Can you put into words, when you heard the news yesterday, what went through your mind? What do you feel you got to get off your chest this morning? And, of course, this goes for everyone at 215-592-9494, even those that did not play pro football and were not a pro like John. John, what hit you?
I feel great admiration for Tyrese Maxey, because it's not easy to be the young guy that people sort of look down on you when you're the youngest guy who's playing. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the, hey, be seen and not heard. They treat you like you're the little kid, like the little brother. And the fact that it bothered him enough, and that he knew it was important enough to step up and say something.
He's probably trying to save the season.
He's the only person who could do it, too, though. Even though he's young, he's the only one with the stat. Because Paul George just got here. He's the only one with the stature to stand up.
That could be. See, I think Paul George probably.
But you want Daryl Morey and Nick Nurse to have it.
Of course, of course.
I just want to be clear.
I think Kyle Lowry and Paul George both have the tenure and the status to contribute to, hey, let's get this. Let's get talking, guys. You're along those lines. But being newer faces, it doesn't carry. I agree. It doesn't carry the same clout. This really does register with Joel coming from Tyrese.
But it probably won't, Sean. That's the sad thing.
Yeah,
that's,
it won't.
That's because, the big worry.
All right, Rhea, this is
and
so.
Then, how does, this is what, the most wheelhouse, Rhea.
All right, Rhea, this is so in your wheelhouse. What's going through your mind?
There are two things that you can control as a professional in any walk of life. Not just being a superstar athlete, that is being on time, okay, and giving effort. Two of things which he clearly doesn't do. I have always been annoyed with the willful looking the other way of who Joel Embiid has been since the moment he got here. I'm the least surprised person. This is a guy who came here injured, didn't rehab his rookie year, and had to miss a second year. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, they had to talk to about, wait, who shows up not in condition. And the fact that Maxey had, you know, had to literally say to him, be a professional.
Yeah.
And then Embiid says, I hear the message, but I'm confused about what's on the court. Well, if you're not showing up, they didn't see him all day on Monday. He shows up literally as they're getting ready to play. So if you're not around for when they're putting in a game plan, of course you're confused.
It's a total
is
disgrace.
Is that really the way it went down?
Yeah.
Is that really what happened?
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine.
John,
because
you were a professional.
But that's the thing. I can't imagine that any professional organization, any team, any club, any
But, John, this has been our point for years. They're poorly run.
Yeah, they're horrendously run.
But they have permitted it to get to this point where that's even feasible, where you can just be AWOL and then
they
show
up. They didn't hear
up.
From them all day.
You can't have multiple sets of rules, although some leagues seem to be bending.
I'll say this. You can, but the player has to deliver. Michael Jordan was a horse's ass to the general manager. But for over a decade, the owner permitted it because he was Michael Jordan and delivered championships. Like, Joel Embiid's, look, I'll tell you this. The biggest thing that hit me yesterday, the biggest thing, is that Joel Embiid's tenure in Philadelphia is probably coming close to an end. And my guess is, and this is pathetic, okay? It will probably be more him looking to ask out than them looking to trade him.
Yeah. Because, it definitely will be.
Because he will react, if I had to guess.
Like a baby.
Like a baby. From everything that went down yesterday, because
you just mentioned Michael Jordan, like I took it personally. Like, don't you wish this guy would take something personally the right way and use it as fuel to work harder to beat everyone to show that's the Jordan thing? And he goes the exact opposite.
And I'll add this because there's been a lot of talk since that report came out yesterday that the report should not have come out. And for the most part, I agree with that.
That's so low down on the totem pole.
And here's the thing: there is an argument that whomever that report came out from, and it could come from a player, it could come from the coach, the general manager, it could come from an owner, it could come from Clutch Sports, it could come from a Sixers team staffer, who knows, okay? There is an argument that that report came out because the person that put it out actually feels that it's another attempt to try to shame Joel into doing the right thing.
Joe, you pointed out his comments. You played them, his comments when they said, oh, we had a meeting. I guarantee you, whoever leaked it looked at that and went, he didn't take that meeting seriously at all.
He didn't get it, yeah. I think there's a good chance that's why the report came out. And so while it's kind of distasteful for something from behind the scenes to see the light of day, it is perhaps, sadly, an attempt to try to freaking reach the guy. Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. Look, it's a big Eagles day here as we broadcast from Chickies and Pete's. But the Sixers thing is a massive topic, and we want your reaction. What do you make of the Joel nonsense? 215-592-9494. Coming up, a cool prize. A report yesterday about Alec Bohm and the Kansas City Royals. We'll get to that. Sheil Kapadia joins the show and more. Your phone calls and all this. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie from Chickies and Pete's on 94WI.
There is a chill in the air, and the big red bows are on the cars, so make this holiday season truly a December to remember with a great deal on your new Lexus from Lexus of Cherry Hill. With special lease and finance offers, along with many other factory incentives, now is the time to take advantage of everything Lexus of Cherry Hill has to offer. They have over 300 new and pre-owned vehicles to choose from, and the 2025 Lexus are arriving daily. Cheer comes standard with the new Lexus during the December to Remember sales event. Lexus of Cherry Hill, now a 7-time J.D. Power Dealer of Excellence winner for the customer sales experience. I know it personally. I have been leasing cars from Lexus of Cherry Hill for a decade. So go in, see my friend Tony Labello and his team, or visit LexusofCherryHill.com. Lexus of Cherry Hill, family owned and operated, proudly celebrating 35 years.
Great to be with you on this Wednesday morning. Good morning, Joe DeCamera, John Richie. Not a great morning, though, because the Joel Embiid situation really clouds and junks up a lot about the Philadelphia sports scene. It really does. It really creates a hell of a problem. Hey, let's get to the Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, because they speak to this problem. The all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. First poll question. Do you think the 76ers should try to trade Joel Embiid immediately? Now, no one's saying give him away, just dump him and, like, take the least you can get and run. Obviously, the idea would be to get a whole bunch of draft picks, which they will be able to get. And they'll be able to get a bunch, guys.
No, I don't think so.
It'll be what it used to be. Like, they won't get the Rudy Gobert trade or anything like that.
We'll say. We'll say.
I don't know. Especially if you're trading from a position of weakness.
I understand. All right. So do you think the Sixers should begin that process and try to trade him immediately? Second poll question. Do you think this will be Embiid's last season with the Sixers? Yes or no? I would say prior to yesterday, the answer from almost everybody would be no and no.
Well, because they signed him to the extension. But for the most part,
while people agree yourself have been out on him for a while, most people have said, no, let's keep trying. I've been one of them. Let's keep trying.
Are you still there?
I do want to see him play with Paul George. Yeah, I want to see him, Maxie, and Paul George play. But I will say that the key, obviously, the ultimate key is his health. I guess it is. But he's got to work on his heart also, obviously. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm much more open-minded to trading him than I previously was. But I just hope they can get them right and then see what we've got. But believe me, I'm hanging by a thread with all this.
By the way, I would like to apologize to Rhea and the others. The Olympic thing clearly didn't do what we hoped it would. No. You know, be around the best players, see how they go about their business and learn from that. It clearly didn't happen, so my bad, hand up. I was wrong.
You don't have to apologize. Hey, blind squirrel with a nut sometimes.
Chickies and Pete's, our home base today, of course, where you can get great gift cards for the holidays. The perfect gift that always fits and always gets return. So buy in person here today or online at chickiesandpeets.com. All right, Sheil Kapadia joins us coming up in a moment. Dan in Philadelphia right now. Dan, good morning.
Embiid is ass.
So you're borrowing from LeSean McCoy on the Cowboys.
That's his absolute trademark signature.
Yeah. Hey, I need Dan, real quick before you keep going. Joe, I need you to turn the volume up or someone turn the volume up because it's hard to hear Dan than usual. All right, Dan, go ahead, man.
Hey, listen. I hate to be the guy that says I told you so, and I never am, but I told you this about 4 years ago. Rhea, I'm with you 100%. He was brought into this league in a culture with the process that just said you don't have to work. You know, losing's acceptable. You don't have to put in the effort. There's no reason to put in the effort. We're not trying to achieve anything. And you can see it with Ben Simmons still. Those two guys, they've never wanted to improve. They've never had to do more than what was the least expected of them, and that's what our organization presented to them, and that's how they're still acting.
Well, I'll tell you this, Dan. I think it's also a case study of young men, because they are young men in the grand scheme of things, who got paid millions of dollars, and it probably creates a hell of a motivation problem. Now, to be clear, it doesn't for a bunch. I mean, LeBron James is about as well-paid as anybody's ever been in sports. And the guy's 40 years old, and he's still busting his ass. So, you know,
he is such a unique, look at Maxie.
Yes.
I would bet Tyrese Maxey just got paid. Exactly. Right. I don't expect Maxey to stop working.
No, I know, but I'm just saying it is. If Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons had to work longer for the multi-millions, my guess is they probably would have worked harder.
That's my point, and it's embedded in them at this point in their lives as an athlete, just based on the organization they came in with, and what the circumstances.
I mean, guys, think of it this way, Dan. Before Ben Simmons played an NBA game, he had a multi-million-dollar contract with the NBA that Sixers that probably netted him. I don't know what a rookie deal would be back then, 40 or 50 million, whatever that is for 5 years.
And they allowed him to sit out his rookie year, right, so he could come back.
No, I get it.
Get that MVP or rookie.
And then that bonus was for 20 million or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I'm saying specifically before he played a game, he had all the guaranteed NBA contract and all the guaranteed marketing contract. Like he might have had $100 million guaranteed. I don't know, $75 million. I don't know. Before he played a game,
the incentive had to be in him instead of like, them trying to beat it out of
And that's why it's an organization's job to look inside the soul and find out what the guy's got. And you know, go
especially
ahead,
with Simmons.
Here's
with
the
LSU
guarantee
that,
that I can give right now. Whenever Embiid comes back and plays his next game, who knows what's going to be wrong with him until he gets there. Bet the over, because he's going to come out and he's going to dominate and he's going to show that he's this great player. You know, because that's what he does. He likes to show off, like, oh, you're calling me out of practice. But it's not consistent. It's not. He can't do it for too long. He goes right back. And when he had his child, that whole thing. You know, I reevaluated myself. I'm going to put more effort into it. I'm going to concentrate more on me now that I'm a family man. It is who he is. I mean, he hasn't done anything for this city.
He's done more than nothing, but he hasn't done enough.
And you're not going to trade him, Joe, either. He's the second highest contract in the league.
Dan, I'll tell you this. I don't think they're going to trade him as they're trying to build an arena.
Around him.
Wow.
That's the biggest.
And that's the way to
foundation.
Get the public on your side. Yeah.
Dan, appreciate the call. All right, let's talk some Eagles football with our next guest, Sheil Kapadia. Of course, today, as we broadcast from Chickies and Pete's, it is the Birds at the half, an opportunity for us to assess the Eagles. We'll also get into the Joel situation with Sheil, who, of course, does just spectacular work covering the Eagles and the entire National Football League. You can follow his work at Sheil Kapadia on Twitter, and he joins us right now. Good morning, Sheil.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
I mean,
doing great.
Bad Sixers mood, really good Eagles mood. Sheil, let's start Eagles, then we'll go Sixers with you. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked everyone about 30 minutes ago. Are the Eagles definitely a great team? We're trying to assess what we've got this year. Are they definitely a great team?
I don't know if I would go great yet. I think the big thing holding me back from saying great is that this season has been way different than I thought it was going to be, and the big thing holding me back is the passing game isn't quite where I would want it to be right now at this point in the season. The defense, I'm a believer. They have overachieved. I love what I'm seeing. The run game, no doubt about it. Saquon Barkley is a walking explosive play. My concern is if you face some of these better teams, and we're going to see them here in the next couple weeks, is the passing game good enough? Can you take fewer sacks? Do you have more ways to get to easy completions? All those things we've been talking about all year, they haven't quite been where I would like them to be. So I would say very good team, a contender. I'm not ready to go great team yet.
Sheil, do you have a theory on why they start slow? Because they are much more efficient in the second half than the first half. What's the theory of why? How do you fix it?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't know what it is. It feels like it's, I don't know if it's a different thing every week. I don't know that it's always, hey, the script, the play calling isn't great early on. I wouldn't say that. I think there are games where I say, okay, I see what they're trying to do. I see what the plan is. It just seems to take them a while to get going. They take negative plays. They make mistakes early on. So, yeah, I'm sure it's something they'll continue to look at, but it continues to be an issue.
Sheil, how many good teams, truly good teams, do you believe are out there? Is it just the Lions? Is it the Lions and the Bills? How do you evaluate the top tier of teams?
You mean great, though, John, right? Not good as much. You mean probably more great.
Yes, the elite. What is your top tier? I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty wide open this year. You know, I'm looking at the AFC standings this week, and I'm saying there are a lot of teams that can get to the Super Bowl, that can win the Super Bowl here. So I don't know that there's a like the top tier right now. I guess you could say the Bills, the Lions. Do you put the? You probably still put the Chiefs in there, and I'm sure if people are listening, they said that the Eagles can beat any of those teams, and I agree. It is wide open. There's not two or three teams right now that are so much better than everyone else. Now, the way the Lions are playing right now, I do give them the edge in the NFC. I mean, they scored touchdowns on seven straight possessions to start the game last week. I know it was the Jaguars, but that's hard to do in the NFL. So I think they might be the most complete team right now, the Lions, and I know that kind of the betting markets have them as the favorites to win the Super Bowl right now.
Yeah, they're so exciting to watch. It's an interesting concept to ask yourself. We're halfway-ish through the season, and you got the young guys bringing up the back end of our defense, and they're playing at such a high level. The offense, as you said, the passing part of the offense hasn't quite been as good as we expected, I guess. I think a lot of that has to do with the way defenses are playing too. And I do think you see a lot of that elsewhere around the league as well. But, you know, here we are halfway through the season. Which side of the ball is better? Which side of the Eagles football is better in your mind?
I can't believe I'm saying it, but it is the defense. if you would have told me this in August,
that's nuts,
that the Eagles defense is going to outperform the offense, I would have said you're nuts. There's no way. I thought the best case scenario, looking at the talent on the defense, was that they'd be, you know, something like the 12th best defense in the NFL. They are playing like a top five unit right now. I don't think it's fluky. I think it's backed by the numbers. I think it's backed by the film. You look at the coaching, how well they're coached on the back end with this secondary. The coverage is, the coverage on some of these plays is so tight where the quarterback is looking around and has nowhere to go, and that results in a sack. So I thought the pass rush showed some encouraging signs last week against Washington, actually. And I think if they can get those guys going just a little bit more, that defense is going to keep them in every game the rest of the season.
That's very exciting. So, Sean Desai, our first defensive coordinator from last season, is now an assistant defensive coach for the Rams. We faced them this week. How is he perceived around the league after what was clearly a debacle from our point of view in Philadelphia last year? How is Desai perceived, and how familiar is the Rams defense, because Sean Desai is running that ship now?
Yeah, I think that, you know, a year ago he was probably looked at as, hey, if he has a good year with the Eagles, he's going to be someone in a couple of years who could be considered a head coaching candidate, and that's obviously not in the cards anymore. So I think he's probably working his way back up and trying to be a defensive coordinator. But I'll tell you what, Matt Patricia made him look pretty good. You know, Patricia took over.
You're right.
I mean, the defense couldn't stop anyone, so that worked in his favor. I think there are some similarities. The Rams do not have the talent on the back end. That is their weakness, is coverage. They're actually built differently, so their pass rush has been very good. That's going to be the big challenge for the Eagles on Sunday night, is blocking it up and pass protection. But they can be had there with their corners and their defensive back. So this is a game where you really want the passing game to look good. I mean, a rookie, Drake May, carved up that Rams defense last weekend. So with Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, if you can't come out with answers in the passing game and be really efficient, that's going to be concerning to me.
Hey, Shiel, let's talk more on coaching with the Eagles head coach. So you've been a skeptic, a critic of Nick Sirianni, as most people have been. With their recent stretch, are you more on board with Sirianni as the head coach of the Eagles, or do you still have some significant doubts?
Listen, I don't think he's the reason why they're 8-2, and that might sound unfair. I don't think he's a bad coach. I don't think he's the driving force. I think you could take a lot of coaches in the NFL and put them in this situation with maybe the most talented Eagles offense we've seen in our lifetime, a great defensive coordinator, and all those things, and they would be doing pretty well with this group. Now, I'll give him credit. They're winning a lot of games. He's got the 8th highest winning percentage in NFL history right now, so I don't want to take that away from him. He's winning a lot of games, but if you ask me, like, what are the reasons why the Eagles are 8-2, I'm naming other things. I'm naming Vic Fangio. I'm naming the talent on offense before I get to Nick Sirianni. So that's where I kind of stand with him, where, I think he's doing a good job right now. If you ask me, could other guys be doing a good job in this spot? My answer would still probably be yes.
And Shiel, let's wrap on Joel. I know you're passionate about sports, and I'm sure you can't stand seeing a situation like what the Joel mess has turned into. What is your reaction with Joel Embiid and the 76ers?
Well, I mean, number one, I love that Tyrese Maxey did that, because that's a guy who's competitive, who's made of the right stuff, who's showing leadership traits. I don't understand how you go spend a summer at the Olympics with guys like LeBron James and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, guys who have, you know, put in the work, who have never been called out for being late for stuff or not caring, and you spend that much time with them, and then you come back and your team's 2-11, and a guy in his early 20s has to call you out in a meeting because no one else in the organization has been willing to do it for over a decade because you're being tardy to stuff, and you can't get your stuff together to help this team get on track. And so I'm so exhausted with this era of Sixers basketball. It's been all about the wrong stuff, about MVP debates, about trust the pro, all this stuff. It was supposed to be about not being in the middle tier of the NBA And it's been 24 years since this team has been out of the second round. So I'm ready to move on. You hit on Jared McCain. Give me Jared McCain. Give me Tyrese Maxey. I don't care if they don't win a championship. I would like a team that I can sit down on a Tuesday in January and say, I like watching them play. I'm proud to have them be my basketball team. Not all the nonsense that has defined this era of Sixers basketball.
Yeah, it's been a mess. I will say, though, the problem with that theory is you might drive right back to the 8 seed that you were with Iguodala and Lou Williams.
I don't care.
What's the difference?
I don't care. I really do not care. I'm telling you that.
You will in 3 years, though.
Lose in the first round, had the second. Lost in the first this last
Joe,
year. Whoops.
You and people like you need an intervention.
I might.
Because you, I'm just saying. You are never going anywhere with this guy, this group, this organization.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
And you're grasping on to maybe we might be the fifth seed.
I know. All right, my man, Shiel, you stay well, pal. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Shiel.
Take care, guys.
Good work, pal. All right, Shiel Kapadia, 215-592-9494. Coming up, all right, AMA, you ask, we answer. Questions from social media. Plus, Ruben Frank joins us for the next 2 hours as we broadcast from the South Philadelphia Chickies and Pete's on a big day. It's the Birds at the Half. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. All right, from Chickies and Pete's, we love being here. It always signifies something big's going on, and it is for us today here at WIP with the Birds at the Half show assessing the Eagles. We'll get to the Sixers nonsense in a moment. Let me also tell you, as we broadcast from Chickies, it is never too early to book that holiday party, you know, for the next couple months here and the great holidays up ahead. Book now at Chickies and Pete's, all the different locations throughout the Delaware Valley. We're at the South Philadelphia Chickies and Pete's, and get a party upgrade. Details online at chickiesandpeets.com. All right, let's go to the phones. Eagles definitely a great team, yes or no? Seltzer, the Eagles definitely a great team.
Yeah. So here's the thing. They're great, relatively speaking. I would argue that compared to 2022, there are no great teams in the NFL this year. I don't think there's a team in the NFL this year that could hang with the Eagles or Chiefs from that year.
I agree with that.
So I think it's all relative. I think when you look at teams, I think the Lions deserve to be the best team right now. But the Eagles aren't that far from the Lions. They're only one game behind them. They haven't played that much of a different brand of football. I know the Lions beat the crap out of some teams. But I just don't think that there is a great, great team. So I think when you look at it, relatively speaking, I think there are four teams that right now stand above the rest. Okay. I think it's the Chiefs, the Bills, the Eagles, and the Lions. And for the purposes of this season, they are great.
That's an interesting way to answer it. Let's go to the phones. Where do you stand? 215-592-9494. Mike in Douglasville kicks us off. What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing well, buddy.
So I would say at this point, we are a very good team, and if we win this weekend, which I view this weekend as the possibility of a major trap game, but if we go out to the West Coast and we are able to beat the Rams, and I would prefer handedly, you know.
Of course, we all would.
A Sunday night game. I want
to be nice
to
have 7 points in the first quarter. I'll just drop that in. Hello.
What a thought.
Absolutely.
Do you know who else doesn't score in the first quarter?
Who's that?
The Rams.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, they're like the worst team scoring in the first quarter.
Outscored. Even worse than the Eagles?
I was shocked by that.
It impossible to be worse.
10 points, right?
Here, I will show you this.
Touchdown and a field goal, I think.
The Rams have been outscored by 43 points in the first game this season, which is the worst mark in the NFL.
Wow. First quarter, yeah.
That's first quarter, yeah.
All right, Mike, go ahead, man. What do you got?
I'm shocked somebody's worse than us in the first quarter. You look at this defense and these, as Hugh Douglas would say, these young Thundercats, are just really showing up. Offensively, obviously, Saquon should definitely be the MVP. I really wish, honestly, we would stop doing the tush push as much as we do, especially on first down.
It wouldn't matter for
Saquon
the MVP, sadly. Christian McCaffrey got like 20 touchdowns last year and he didn't win.
Yeah, but I think
he was clearly the best player in football.
But I think there's more awareness right now.
I don't think there is, man. If you looked at the odds, he's still like 16th or 17th or something. I mean, like Geno Smith is still ahead of him, you know?
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Mike.
If you had like 4 or 5 touchdowns to Saquon's stats this year, I think he would be a lot higher than what he is now.
Yeah, he might be like 13th.
Mike, I think part of what helps him is the jump backwards was so never before seen. It became such a viral highlight and talking point in the middle part of this season. I do think it helps his cause. Look, I hear
I think
James.
The tushy push being viral also helps his cause to some degree.
Because people know that he's got limited
touchdowns.
I agree with that.
A lot more people know,
I agree with that,
than would ordinarily.
Yeah. But look, James's point is well taken for me. He probably isn't going to win the MVP. And that's a shame. if he and
but don't give up your hope, Joe.
It is not impossible that he wins the MVP. And a lot has to do with these other quarterbacks. Jalen, we've talked about it. It hasn't been a gangbuster season. But it's not just Jalen. You look around the NFL, and the quarterbacks who are doing it consistently, big numbers, big touchdown production, few and far between.
Yeah.
It's quieter, and there's a lot more running going on around the league.
Sure
so
is.
It's a balanced offensive attack that is what's most effective right now.
All right, let's get to the Sixers thing because it's such a big topic. All right, so I think everyone knows Shams reported this yesterday. Amongst other things, he reported in the meeting that happened after the game 2 nights ago. In the meeting, Maxi challenged Embiid to be on time to team activities, calling out the former league MVP about being late for, quote, everything. This is from Shams' report, being late for everything, and how it impacts the locker room. From other players to the coaching staff, sources briefed to the meeting told ESPN, Maxi and Embiid have a close friendship and have a history of holding each other accountable, according to those around the team. Quote, Tyrese loves big fella, but this is the elephant in the room, a person involved in the meeting
told
ESPN.
Hold on, they have a history of holding one another accountable?
I know. The story goes on to say players told 76ers coach Nick Nurse that they want to be coached harder, and coaches in turn say they want players to practice with purpose and attention to detail, blah, 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 blah. All right. So this is a disaster. It's a mess. I mean, it's good that someone stepped up and told Joel what he needs to be told. It's a disaster that he needed to be told. And, you know, there are so many ways to go in addressing this story. I'll just start with this. It felt to me like yesterday was probably the beginning of the end of Joel Embiid in Philadelphia. I mean, that to me is the overarching headline, and that when all is said and done, he will probably go down as one of the most disappointed athletes in Philadelphia sports. And that's saying something because he's one of the most skilled players.
He won an MVP. Like, how crazy is you're right, but how crazy is that?
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like wasted talent. And, you know, obviously my reaction is a combination, as a Philadelphia sports fan, of anger at Joel and sadness about all of it. I mean, I don't know which I have more, anger or sadness. It's 8 years in now. Obviously, I have a heavy dose of both. John, you were a pro. You were a pro football player, but not every pro football player, pro basketball player is a pro. You were a pro. It certainly seems like Joel Embiid is not a pro. Can you put into words, when you heard the news yesterday, what went through your mind? What do you feel you got to get off your chest this morning? And, of course, this goes for everyone at 215-592-9494, even those that did not play pro football and were not a pro like John. John, what hits you?
I feel great admiration for Tyrese Maxey, because it's not easy to be the young guy that people sort of look down on you when you're the youngest guy who's playing. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the, hey, be seen and not heard. They treat you like you're the little kid, like the little brother. And the fact that it bothered him enough, and that he knew it was important enough to step up and say something.
He's probably trying to save the season.
He's the only person who could do it, too, though. Even though he's young, he's the only one with the stature. Because Paul George just got here. He's the only one with the stature to stand up.
That could be. See, I think Paul George probably.
But you want Daryl Morey and Nick Nurse to have it.
Of course, of course.
I just want to be clear.
I think Kyle Lowry and Paul George both have the tenure and the status to contribute to, hey, let's get this. Yeah. Let's get talking, guys. You're something along those lines. But being newer faces, it doesn't carry. I agree. It doesn't carry the same clout. This really does register with Joel coming from Tyrese.
But it probably won't, Sean. That's the sad thing.
Yeah,
that's,
it won't.
That's because, the big worry.
All right, Rhea, this is
and
so.
Then, how does,
this is what, the most wheelhouse, Rhea.
All right, Rhea, this is so in your wheelhouse. What's going through your mind?
There are two things that you can control as a professional in any walk of life. Not just being a superstar athlete, that is being on time, okay, and giving effort. Two of things which he clearly doesn't do. I have always been annoyed with the willful looking the other way of who Joel Embiid has been since the moment he got here. I'm the least surprised person. This is a guy who came here injured, didn't rehab his rookie year and had to miss his second year. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, they had to talk to about weight, who shows up not in condition. And the fact that Maxey had, you know, had to literally say to him, be a professional. Yeah. And then Embiid says, I hear the message, but I'm confused about what's on the court. Well, if you're not showing up, they didn't see him all day on Monday. He shows up literally as they're getting ready to play. So if you're not around for when they're putting in a game plan, of course you're confused.
It's a total disgrace.
Is that really the way it went down?
Yeah.
Is that really what happened?
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine.
John, because you were a professional.
But that's the thing. I can't imagine that any professional organization, any team, any club, any entity.
But, John, this has been our point for years. They're poorly run.
Yeah, they're horrendously run.
But that's the point. They have permitted it to get to this point that's even feasible, where you can just be AWOL and then
they
show
up. They didn't hear
up.
From them all day.
What that – it just – that you can't have multiple sets of rules, although some leagues seem to be bending.
I'll say
rules.
This: you can, but the player has to deliver. Michael Jordan was a horse's ass to the general manager, but for over a decade, the owner permitted it because he was Michael Jordan and delivered championships. Like Joel Embiid's, look, I'll tell you this: the biggest thing that hit me yesterday, the biggest thing. Is that Joel Embiid's tenure in Philadelphia is probably coming close to an end. And my guess is, and this is pathetic, okay? It will probably be more him looking to ask out than them looking to trade him.
Yeah. Because, it definitely will be.
Because he will react, if I had to guess.
Like a baby.
Like a baby from everything that went down yesterday. Because
you just mentioned Michael Jordan. Like, I took it personally. Like, don't you wish this guy would take something personally the right way? And use it as fuel to work harder, to beat everyone, to show that's the Jordan thing. And he goes the exact opposite.
And I'll add this, because there's been a lot of talk since that report came out yesterday that the report should not have come out. And for the most part, I agree with that.
That's so low down on the totem pole.
But here's the thing. There is an argument that whomever that report came out from, and it could come from a player, it could come from the coach, the general manager, it could come from an owner, it could come from Clutch Sports, it could come from a Sixers team staffer, who knows, okay? There is an argument that that report came out because the person that put it out actually feels that it's another attempt to try to shame Joel into doing the right thing.
Joe, you pointed out his comments. You played them, comments, when they said, we had a meeting. I guarantee you, whoever leaked it looked at that and went, he didn't take that meeting seriously at all.
He didn't get it, yeah. I think there's a good chance that's why the report came out. And so while it's kind of distasteful for something from behind the scenes to see the light of day, it is perhaps, sadly, an attempt to try to freaking reach the guy. Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. Look, it's a big Eagles day here as we broadcast from Chickies and Pete's. But the Sixers thing is a massive topic, and we want your reaction. What do you make of the Joel nonsense? 215-592-9494. Coming up, a cool prize. A report yesterday about Alec Bohm and the Kansas City Royals. We'll get to that. Sheil Kapadia joins the show and more. Your phone calls and all this. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie from Chickies and Pete's on 94 WI.
There is a chill in the air, and the big red bows are on the cars, so make this holiday season truly a December to remember with a great deal on your new Lexus from Lexus of Cherry Hill. With special lease and finance offers, along with many other factory incentives, now is the time to take advantage of everything Lexus of Cherry Hill has to offer. They have over 300 new and pre-owned vehicles to choose from, and the 2025 Lexus are arriving daily. Cheer comes standard with the new Lexus during the December to Remember sales event. Lexus of Cherry Hill, now a 7-time J.D. Power Dealer of Excellence winner for the customer sales experience. I know it personally. I have been leasing cars from Lexus of Cherry Hill for a decade. So go in, see my friend Tony Labello and his team, or visit LexusofCherryHill.com. Lexus of Cherry Hill, family owned and operated, proudly celebrating 35 years.
All right, great to be with you on this Wednesday morning. Good morning, Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie. Not a great morning, though, because the Joel Embiid situation really clouds and junks up a lot about the Philadelphia sports scene. It really does. It really creates a hell of a problem. Hey, let's get to the Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, because they speak to this problem. The all-new 3-row Chevrolet Traverse has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, Let's Drive. Visit ArmandChevy.com. First poll question. Do you think the 76ers should try to trade Joel Embiid immediately? Now, no one's saying give him away, just dump him and like take the least you can get and run. Obviously, the idea would be to get a whole bunch of draft picks, which they will be able to get. And they'll be able to get a bunch, guys.
No, I don't think so. It'll be what it used to be. Like, they won't get the Rudy Gobert trade or anything like that.
We'll say. We'll say.
I don't know. Especially if you're trading from a position of weakness.
I understand. All right. So do you think the Sixers should begin that process and try to trade him immediately? Second poll question. Do you think this will be Embiid's last season with the Sixers? Yes or no? I would say prior to yesterday, the answer from almost everybody would be no and no.
Well, because they signed him to the extension.
Right. And for the most part, while people agree yourself have been out on him for a while, most people have said, no, let's keep trying. I've been one of them. Let's keep trying. Are you still there? I do want to see him play with Paul George. Yeah, I want to see him, Maxie, and Paul George play. But I will say that the key, obviously, the ultimate key is his health. I guess it is. But he's got to work on his heart also, obviously. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm much more open-minded to trading him than I previously was. But I just hope they can get him right and then see what we've got. But believe me, I'm hanging by a thread with all this.
By the way, I would like to apologize to Rhea and the others. The Olympic thing clearly didn't do what we hoped it would. No. You know, be around the best players, see how they go about their business and learn from that. It clearly didn't happen, so my bad. Hand up. I was wrong.
You don't have to apologize. Hey, blind squirrel with a nut sometimes.
Chickies and Pete's, our home base today, of course, where you can get great gift cards for the holidays. The perfect gift that always fits and always gets return. So buy in person here today or online at chickiesandpeets.com. All right, Sheil Kapadia joins us coming up in a moment. Dan in Philadelphia right now. Dan, good morning.
Embiid is ass.
So you're borrowing from LeSean McCoy on the Cowboys.
That's his absolute trademark signature.
Yeah. Hey, I need Dan, real quick before you keep going, Joe, I need you to turn the volume up or someone turn the volume up because it's hard to hear Dan than usual. All right, Dan, go ahead, man.
Hey, listen. I hate to be the guy that says I told you so, and I never am, but I told you this about 4 years ago. Rhea, I'm with you 100%. He was brought into this league in a culture with the process that just said you don't have to work. You know, losing's acceptable. You don't have to put in the effort. There's no reason to put in the effort. We're not trying to achieve anything. And you can see it with Ben Simmons still. Those two guys, they've never wanted to improve. They've never had to do more than what was the least expected of them, and that's what our organization presented to them, and that's how they're still acting.
Well, I'll tell you this, Dan. I think it's also a case study of young men, because they are young men in the grand scheme of things, who got paid millions of dollars, and it probably creates a hell of a motivation problem. Now, to be clear, it doesn't for a bunch. I mean, LeBron James is about as well paid as anybody's ever been in sports. And the guy's 40 years old, and he's still busting his ass. So, you know, they're
such a unique.
Look at Maxie.
Yes.
I would bet Tyrese Maxie just got paid. Exactly. Right. I don't expect Maxie to stop working.
No, I know, but I'm just saying it is. If Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons had to work longer for the multi millions, my guess is they probably would have worked harder.
That's my point, and it's embedded in them at this point in their lives as an athlete, just based on the organization they came in with, and what the circumstances.
I mean, guys, think of it this way, Dan. Before Ben Simmons played an NBA game, he had a multi-million-dollar contract with the NBA, that Sixers, that probably netted him, I don't know what a rookie deal would be back then, 40 or 50 million, whatever that is, for 5 years.
And they allowed him to sit out his rookie year so he could come back and get that MVP or rookie year.
Bonus was for 20 million or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I'm saying I don't know what it was, but I'm saying specifically before he played a game, he had all the guaranteed NBA contract and all the guaranteed marketing contract. Like he might have had $100 million guaranteed. I don't know, $75 million. I don't know before he played a
the
game.
The incentive had to be in him instead of them trying to beat it out.
And
of
that's
him.
Why it's an organization's job to look inside the soul and find out what the guy's got. And you know, go
especially
ahead,
with Simmons.
Here's
with
the guarantee
LSU and all
that I can give right now. Whenever Embiid comes back and plays his next game, who knows what's going to be wrong with him until he gets there. Bet the over, because he's going to come out and he's going to dominate and he's going to show that he's this great player, you know, because that's what he does. He likes to show off, like, oh, you're calling me out of practice. But it's not consistent. It's not he can't do it for too long. He goes right back. And when he had his child, that whole thing, you know, I reevaluated myself. I'm going to put more effort into it. I'm going to concentrate more on me now that I'm a family man. It's just, it is who he is. I mean, he hasn't done anything for this city. Nothing.
Well, look, he's done more than nothing, but he hasn't done
enough. And you're not going to trade him, Joe, either. He's the second highest contract in the league.
Dan, I'll tell you this. I don't think they're going to trade him as they're trying to build an arena.
Around him.
Wow.
That's the biggest.
And that's the way to get the public on your side. Yeah.
Dan, appreciate the call. All right, let's talk some Eagles football with our next guest, Sheila Kupati. Of course, today, as we broadcast from Chickies and Pete's, it is the Birds at the half, an opportunity for us to assess the Eagles. We'll also get into the Joel situation with Sheila, who, of course, does just spectacular work covering the Eagles and the entire National Football League. You can follow his work at Sheila Kupati on Twitter, and he joins us right now. Good morning, Sheila.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
I mean,
doing great.
Bad Sixers mood, really good Eagles mood. Sheila, let's start Eagles, then we'll go Sixers with you. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked everyone about 30 minutes ago. Are the Eagles definitely a great team? We're trying to assess what we've got this year. Are they definitely a great team?
I don't know if I would go great yet. I think the big thing holding me back from saying great is that this season has been way different than I thought it was going to be, and the big thing holding me back is the passing game isn't quite where I would want it to be right now at this point in the season. The defense, I'm a believer. They have overachieved. I love what I'm seeing. The run game, no doubt about it. Saquon Barkley is a walking explosive play. My concern is if you face some of these better teams, and we're going to see them here in the next couple weeks, is the passing game good enough? Can you take fewer sacks? Do you have more ways to get to easy completions? All those things we've been talking about all year, they haven't quite been where I would like them to be. So I would say very good team, a contender. I'm not ready to go great team yet.
Shield, do you have a theory on why they start slow? Because they are much more efficient in the second half than the first half. What's the theory of why? How do you fix it?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't know what it is. It feels like it's, I don't know if it's a different thing every week. I don't know that it's always, hey, the script, the play calling isn't great early on. I wouldn't say that. I think there are games where I say, okay, I see what they're trying to do. I see what the plan is. It just seems to take them a while to get going. They take negative plays. They make mistakes early on. So, yeah, I'm sure it's something they'll continue to look at, but it continues to be an issue.
Shil, how many good teams, truly good teams, do you believe are out there? Is it just the Lions? Is it the Lions and the Bills? How do you evaluate the top tier of teams?
You mean great, yeah, though, John, right? Not good as much. You mean probably more great.
Yes, the elite. What is your top tier, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty wide open this year. You know, I'm looking at the AFC standings this week, and I'm saying there are a lot of teams that can get to the Super Bowl, that can win the Super Bowl here. So I don't know that there's a like the top tier right now. I guess you could say the Bills, the Lions. Do you put the? You probably still put the Chiefs in there, and I'm sure if people are listening, they said the Eagles can beat any of those teams, and I agree. It is wide open. There's not two or three teams right now that are so much better than everyone else. Now, the way the Lions are playing right now, I do give them the edge in the NFC. I mean, they scored touchdowns on seven straight possessions to start the game last week. I know it was the Jaguars, but that's hard to do in the NFL. So I think they might be the most complete team right now, the Lions, and I know that kind of the betting markets have them as the favorites to win the Super Bowl right now.
Yeah, they're so exciting to watch. It's an interesting concept to ask yourself. We're halfway-ish through the season, and you got the young guys bringing up the back end of our defense, and they're playing at such a high level. The offense, as you said, the passing part of the offense hasn't quite been as good as we expected, I guess. I think a lot of that has to do with the way defenses are playing, too. And I do think you see a lot of that elsewhere around the league as well. But, you know, here we are halfway through the season. Which side of the ball is better? Which side of the Eagles football is better in your mind?
I can't believe I'm saying it, but it is the defense. if you would have told me this in August,
that's nuts,
that the Eagles defense is going to outperform the offense, I would have said you're nuts. There's no way. I thought the best case scenario looking at the talent on the defense was that they'd be, you know, something like the 12th best defense in the NFL. They are playing like a top five unit right now.
I don't think it's fluky. I think it's backed by the numbers. I think it's backed by the film. You look at the coaching, how well they're coached on the back end with this secondary. The coverage is, I mean, the coverage on some of these plays is so tight where the quarterback is looking around and has nowhere to go, and that results in a sack. So I thought the pass rush showed some encouraging signs last week against Washington, actually. And I think if they can get those guys going just a little bit more, man, that defense is going to keep them in every game the rest of the season.
That's very exciting. So Sean Desai, our first defensive coordinator from last season, is now an assistant defensive coach for the Rams. We faced them this week. How is he perceived around the league after what was clearly a debacle from our point of view in Philadelphia last year? How is Desai perceived, and how familiar is the Rams defense, because Sean Desai is running that ship now?
Yeah, I think that, you know, a year ago he was probably looked at as, hey, if he has a good year with the Eagles, he's going to be someone in a couple of years who could be considered a head coaching candidate, and that's obviously not in the cards anymore. So I think he's probably working his way back up and trying to be a defensive coordinator. But I'll tell you what, Matt Patricia made him look pretty good. You know, Patricia took over.
You're right.
I mean, the defense couldn't stop anyone, so that worked in his favor. I think there are some similarities. The Rams do not have the talent on the back end. That is their weakness, is coverage. They're actually built differently, so their pass rush has been very good. That's going to be the big challenge for the Eagles on Sunday night, is blocking it up and pass protection. But they can be had there with their corners and their defensive back. So this is a game where you really want the passing game to look good. I mean, a rookie, Drake May, carved up that Rams defense last weekend. So with Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, if you can't come out with answers in the passing game and be really efficient, that's going to be concerning to me.
Hey, Shiel, let's talk more on coaching with the Eagles head coach. So you've been a skeptic, a critic of Nick Sirianni, as most people have been. With their recent stretch, are you more on board with Sirianni as the head coach of the Eagles, or do you still have some significant doubts?
Listen, I don't think he's the reason why they're 8-2, and that might sound unfair. I don't think he's a bad coach. I don't think he's the driving force. I think you could take a lot of coaches in the NFL and put them in this situation with maybe the most talented Eagles offense we've seen in our lifetime, a great defensive coordinator, and all those things, and they would be doing pretty well with this group. Now, I'll give him credit. They're winning a lot of games. He's got the eighth highest winning percentage in NFL history right now, so I don't want to take that away from him. He's winning a lot of games, but if you ask me, like, what are the reasons why the Eagles are 8-2, I'm naming other things. I'm naming Vic Fangio. I'm naming the talent on offense before I get to Nick Sirianni. So that's where I kind of stand with him, where, I think he's doing a good job right now. If you ask me, could other guys be doing a good job in this spot? My answer would still probably be yes.
And Shiel, let's wrap on Joel. I know you're passionate about sports, and I'm sure you can't stand seeing a situation like what the Joel mess has turned into. What is your reaction with Joel Embiid and the 76ers?
Well, I mean, number one, I love that Tyrese Maxey did that, because that's a guy who's competitive, who's made of the right stuff, who's showing leadership traits. I don't understand how you go spend a summer at the Olympics with guys like LeBron James and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, guys who have, you know, put in the work, who have never been called out for being late for stuff or not caring, and you spend that much time with them, and then you come back and your team's 2-11, and a guy in his early 20s has to call you out in a meeting because no one else in the organization has been willing to do it for over a decade because you're being tardy to stuff, and you can't get your stuff together to help this team get on track. And so I'm so exhausted with this era of Sixers basketball. It's been all about the wrong stuff, about MVP debates, about trust the pro, all this stuff. It was supposed to be about not being in the middle tier of the NBA, and it's been 24 years since this team has been out of the second round. So I'm ready to move on. You hit on Jared McCain. Give me Jared McCain. Give me Tyrese Maxey. I don't care if they don't win a championship. I would like a team that I can sit down on a Tuesday in January and say, I like watching them play. I'm proud to have them be my basketball team. Not all the nonsense that has defined this era of Sixers basketball.
Yeah, it's been a mess. I will say, though, the problem with that theory is you might drive right back to the 8 seed that you were with Iguodala and Lou Williams.
Care,
and
what's
Joe,
the difference?
I don't care. I really do not care. I'm telling you that.
You will in 3 years, though.
Lose in the first round, said the second. Lost in the first this last
Joe,
year. Whoops.
You and people like you need an intervention.
I might.
Because you. I'm just saying.
I might.
You are never going anywhere with this guy, this group, this organization.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
And you're grasping on to maybe we might be the fifth seed.
I know. All right, my man, Shiel, you stay well, pal. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Shiel.
Take care, guys.
Good work, pal. All right, Shiel Kapati, 215-592-9494. Coming up, all right, AMA, you ask, we answer. Questions from social media. Plus, Ruben Frank joins us for the next 2 hours as we broadcast from the South Philadelphia Chickies and Pete's on a big day. It's the Birds at the Half. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP.